Today is Sunday, June 24th, 2018, and this...
Vegas, can I get a hell yeah?
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 651.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I am fine. How are you?
I am lovely.
Yes, you are.
I'm a ray of sunshine on a...
Cloudy day.
No, it is actually kind of a sunny day.
Mm. You're an additional ray of sunshine.
We get to talk about Las Vegas, which I always enjoy doing. It's a highlight of every weekend. And I get to share this moment with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we jump into some news this week, we want to thank some of our beloved Patreon patrons, monthly supporters of the show, including Greg Schofield, Z.
Are you sure it's not Zed?
The DJ?
No, I mean, depending on where they're from.
Your theory is that I'm mispronouncing Z?
Uh-huh.
A single letter? That is possible. I'm going to go with Z.
All right.
Thanks for putting that in my head, though.
Welcome.
Scott Nygaard, Tom Tweedle, Brian Ibbett, Chris Lynn, and Brian and Sarah Ulrich. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We do appreciate your support. If you'd like to support the show on an ongoing monthly basis, we could throw some bonus content at you once in a while as a way of saying thank you. You can check it out at patreon.com/500. All right, we got a bunch of news to talk about. As you know...
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is home to many entertainment shows. There are stages.
And non-entertainment shows.
There are stages.
In the case of Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Oh, ouch. Is that our new whipping boy, so to speak, in Vegas? Tony and Tina's, that has replaced Chris Angel?
Ooh, possibly. Ooh, which would you rather see if forced one of them?
Chris Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be pulled out of the audience. I'm not going to have to participate, and I'm not going to have to sit at Buka.
Is there some audience participation at Chris Angel?
There might be, but it's going to be a lot.
It'll be less. Your chances of being pulled up onto the stage are... Yeah.
I feel like I might be able to nap during Chris Angel's show.
Oh, okay. So there is that. You had a lovely nap during once.
That was the best nap I've ever had in a public space. Yep, just... And you know, the great thing is... As discussions have come about on the Facebook group about O, it turns out I'm amongst many friends.
Uh-huh.
It's a common public napping space. Yes, people fall asleep in that show often. I believe our friend Hunter is among those. There are several. There's a recent discussion about O, and several of us chimed in that, fantastic nap. So, all right. Anyway, there's some entertainment news that I wanted to discuss, and I don't know if we're seeing the beginning of a new trend here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got multiple shows that have been announced that will not be happening. Now, we've seen this happen before. You may remember I'm still waiting for the show to find another home, but Viva Veracruz.
Oh, yeah.
That was one at Planet Hollywood. Mm-hmm. That was a show that was being paid for by the Veracruz government.
Yep.
That, for some reason, it's surprising that a government wouldn't be a dependable producer of quality entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But that one fell through. There have been others. Then there have been plenty of shows that don't last very long. Most recently, Marilyn the New Musical, although they're insisting that's coming back in September. Remember Surf?
Barely.
That was another Planet Hollywood production. I believe that they spent a ton of money to license a bunch of Beach Boys songs, and then they ran out of money like quickly mm-hmm. into the run of the show as a result of that.
Whoops.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've got a couple shows that have been recently announced that are not going to be happening, at least in their original homes. There's the always questionable promise from the producers that they're going to find a new location. The first is a casualty of the Hard Rock ownership change and the transition to Virgin Hotels Las Vegas next year, and that is Voice Neon Dreams. The Voice, of course, is the reality show. They're going to build this whole cool-ass venue outside of Hard Rock just for this. There is a steel shell up right now where they had begun construction. It is not going to happen at the Hard Rock. So the Review Journal reports that the planned opening of September 17th is off. They're going to be looking for a new home. The producers, this is the decision of the producers, apparently. They weren't happy with all the plans for construction and stuff. And anyway.
Well, it was supposed to be a specialized venue
just for this show.
Yeah.
They're going to have memorabilia in there. It was constructed just for this. Luckily, it doesn't seem like they got too far on it. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, I don't know, if they're just going to tear down what they started putting up or if they're going to try to
different theater,
repurpose it. I don't know. So they're seeking a new home, but the Voice Neon Dreams is not happening at the Hard Rock. They have said the new owners of the Hard Rock, soon to be Virgin Hotels, have said that Magic Mike Live is secure.
Good.
It is selling tickets. They're doing well enough that they're confident in their continuing relationship with that particular show.
That's a relief.
Your dream of seeing Magic Mike Live lives on.
Yeah.
You're never going to see that, are you?
Probably not.
All right, another show.
Never say never.
No, I've learned that lesson before. I still do it on occasion.
If it were, the right people at the right time, but...
Meaning not me.
Meaning not you.
Because I'm not really interested in that brand of entertainment.
And that's okay.
Yeah. All right, there's...
It would be funny seeing how uncomfortable you'd be, though.
It's not...
For about 10 minutes.
Yeah, then it would just be me being super annoyed. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't make it through the whole show. It's not for me.
Yeah.
So now, would I rather see Magic Mike Live or Tony and Tina's wedding? I'm going to go with Magic Mike Live.
All right.
Yep. Tony and Tina's wedding is the baseline for me. For like anything below that, it's got to be
no.
Yeah. Anyway, there's another show. I don't think this was officially announced by the venue, but it was announced by the performers a few weeks ago. We discussed that Salt and Peppa had announced a residency at Tropicana. I believe when the Billboard Music Awards were in town, they were promoting that. And now, according fresh off the presses, according to Johnny Katz, the Review Journal, that residency at Tropicana is off. Don't know exactly what the reason is, but once again, they're seeking a new venue. I don't see this one happening. I was a little skeptical of this one to begin with.
Yeah?
Unless it was a package.
Like a
thing.
90s deal with other acts.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't see this as being a big enough draw to have any sort of, I don't know. I don't see it lasting long if it were to open, but who knows?
They've got some good tunes.
I know, they do. But I just don't know that there's that big of a demand for a Salt and Peppa residency. Can I say Salt and Peppa awkwardly a few more times?
No.
All right, last week we mentioned that Boy George was going to be on Steve Harvey's talk show titled Steve on Monday. And indeed he was, and I watched it for you, so you don't have to sit through that horrendous...
Thank you for your sacrifice.
...talk show. Thankfully... The DVR allowed me to just skip to the Boy George part. The important part. The problem is they severely edited the interview, which is fine. They do that for television. But they edited at just the time where he would have provided some useful information for this podcast. He did say that he has a residency coming up at Flamingo in the Donnie and Marie showroom. So I guess that's at least semi-officially new information, although I believe that's where it was rumored to be anyway. However, when Steve Harvey, the host of said Steve...
It'd be weird if it was called, like, Tom or something.
I know. When he asked, so when does it start? They did this edit where he just said where it was, didn't say when it started or any other details. So all we know is Flamingo at this point. No start date. Although, like I mentioned, they're on the road. Culture Club is on the road. He did make it fairly clear that it's just him and not Culture Club. But sometime next year is what we're going to go with.
All right.
So that's the development. That Steve Harvey show is hard to watch. There are a lot of shitty talk shows. Mm-hmm. That is one of them. That's why it's on at 3 in the morning here in the Twin Cities area. All right. In semi-entertainment news, another story courtesy of the Review Journal. One of the more popular shows in Las Vegas the last several years has been Absinthe. Mm-hmm. We have not seen it.
We have not, and many people have yelled at us to go see it. I know.
We're constantly under pressure to see Absinthe, and we have not yet caved. Through at no particular reason other than we just haven't done it. And now it's like, meh, we're never going to do it. I know, it's wonderful. It would be right up our alley because it's kind of vulgar, mm-hmm. all that. I still recommend it to people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what... Anyway, the area around... Absinthe.
I think we say this every time we discuss Absinthe.
I know, because I feel somewhat a little bit guilty because I know that I would enjoy it and that mm-hmm. I should see it.
But then I think the fact that you feel that you should see it makes you not want to see it.
That's part of it, too. Once something falls in the obligation category, mm-hmm. I tend to shun it.
Yeah.
Not big on obligations, as you know.
Oh, I'm aware.
So they're going to be doing some renovations at Caesar's Palace surrounding the Absinthe performance venue. What is that thing called? The Spiegel tent or something yes. like that? By September, they're going to add I think, you know, when this started, they had some outdoor stuff, but this sounds like they're making it more of a public area, not just for ticket holders. They're going to have a new Absinthe-themed bar. They're putting up this giant illuminated tree that was previously at Burning Man. 25,000 multicolored LED lights. And they're expecting this to be like a big Instagram thing. You know, people want to have their picture taken by the tree. And then some of the characters from Absinthe will be performing or will appear in the new courtyard space as well. So if you're wandering through the Absinthe area and it's under construction, that's what is going to happen. It's supposed to open by September. So there you have it. And I think a few weeks ago we mentioned that Absinthe was recently extended, so I suppose this is probably part of that. They figure it's going to be here a while. Let's make the most of that space, because a lot of that courtyard space is kind of, I don't know that they're making much money off it, but they probably figure this is a way to drum up more cash. That's what these mm-hmm. casino companies do. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. They're in the business to make money. All right. I love nightclubs, as you know.
Yes, I do.
Park MGM has a new nightclub.
This excites you greatly.
Oh, I love Park MGM. It's just one of the most something.
Vibrant properties.
Yeah, and I love nightclubs, so this is right up my alley. It's called On the Record. It's going to be opening on New Year's Eve, and they kind of taken on a similar shtick to what Beauty and Essex at Cosmo has done. If you're familiar with that restaurant and bar, they have a fake pawn shop as the exterior facing mm-hmm. storefront of that particular venue, and then you have to go in the pawn shop and through a door into the main venue. And this isn't a pawn shop at all. It's a restaurant.
What?
Where did this come from? Well, they're doing a similar thing with On the Record. They're planning on having a record store as the casino facing entity, and then you enter that and go up some stairs, and suddenly you're in a nightclub. So it's kind of a speakeasy thing that everybody seems to be doing now. That's, you know, but it's not like they're going to.
It's not like they're going to deny anybody entry because they.
Well, they will if I'm wearing my New Balance.
Oh yes, that's true.
They're going to be it's a nightclub. They're going to be denying plenty of entry, but.
Yeah, if you're dressed well and you have enough money, there will be no problem.
But it's not, like the speakeasy thing at the Mob Museum's cool, because that's, mm-hmm. there's no signs or anything. This is, yeah. Everybody knows what this is.
Yeah, you have to like work to get there. For this, it's like, all right, here's the club, let's go.
Yeah, so it's going to have 3 rooms, indoor and outdoor space. Beyond that, we don't know much. I think it sounds like it's going to be a little bit maybe more loungy than full-on dance nightclub mm-hmm. kind of thing, but we'll see. It's 11,000 square feet or so. And like I said, it's opening New Year's Eve at Park MGM.
It sounded kind of like Rose Rabbit Lie, a little bit. The different rooms and stuff.
Yeah. So we'll see. So there you go. If you've been craving a new fake record store in Las Vegas, here's one for you. All right. They've been doing some renovations at the Link. Last time we were there, it was a fuck mess. where they're putting in that zip line, and that's creating all kinds of chaos. But they're also doing some construction inside. We've had several different rumor watch segments on the former tag bar space, and there appears to be some additional news on that. They, of course, closed that sports bar and are renovating it. Eater had an update this week that it's going to be called The Book, mm-hmm. the new sports bar that they're building in the place of the old sports bar. And it's going to feature, apparently they were originally called man caves, but they've switched to living rooms. It's kind of the cabana concept where you can rent for a short amount of time, few hours, a private space to watch sporting events. Mm-hmm. They'll probably do well with that.
Yeah.
So they're private lounging areas and you can order food and beverage. You can play. They have some, they're going to have some games you can play where you're playing like trivia and sports games against other guests. So other people who have the living room spaces, I would imagine. And then, of course, you can watch the sporting events that you are there betting on. You can't, I guess, there was something about how you can't actually place bets while in your little thing, although you could do it mobily, like right. if you wanted to not bet with the link itself, bet with William Hill or one of the others. But you can watch all the action from your living room space. And then they're also going to have a restaurant currently called Sticky Kitchen. What do you think about the name Sticky Kitchen?
I have some concerns.
Do share. What are the concerns?
Well, that there will be sticky substances.
Sanitary issues?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the very least, a sticky floor.
I don't like that name either.
It's no.
Like, hey, come and join us at the Grimy Diner. Like, no, I don't want to know that. Anyway, I know, it's just a name. It's a former food truck that they're bringing in. So it sounds a little bit like what they have at the Mirage. Is that a place called The Still?
I think so.
Where they have a Airstream trailer or something mm-hmm. where you can go and buy food. Sounds like they're doing a similar concept here. Because who doesn't love a food truck, you know? But it's when you bring it indoors and it doesn't actually go anywhere, it's mm-hmm. a little... So this is, let's see, how many... So we've got one at The Still. Mm-hmm. We're going to have one at The Link now. Mm-hmm. And then at the pool at the Plaza, they have a food truck up there. That's on the second level, so that's not going anywhere. I'm trying to think if there are any other similar venues. Those are the ones I'm aware of where they have a food truck that's not really a food truck.
But you... Is the idea that you have to go up and order it? They won't bring it to you?
That's how it is at The Still. I'm not sure if that'll be the case here. I would imagine it would. If this is like a sports bar concept, mm-hmm. it would make sense. I could see that.
Go up, get your food, bring it back to wherever you are.
Yep. So that's the scoop. They're going to have indoor and outdoor dining as part of that. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. It sounds like it's sit-down service. We'll see. Anyway, there's still a lot of work to be done there, but that is what is happening at The Link. We also have some new restaurants coming to the Venetian and Palazzo, specifically the Grand Canal Shops. Are you a fan of the Grand Canal Shops? You don't seem to spend much time there.
I don't. They're fine. I'm not a non-fan, but...
During the call segment later on, there's going to be a question specifically to you regarding the Grand Canal Shops.
Okay.
Another story that comes to us from Eater, and that is some new restaurants coming to the Grand Canal Shops. Remember Smith and Walensky, that restaurant that we walked by 4,000 times mm-hmm. on the strip down by MGM?
Yep, the green and white building.
Yep, that closed last year, and it is going to be reopening. This is one of those rare instances where someone says, we're seeking a new home, and they actually find one. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be reopening in the former Zeffirino space in the Grand Canal Shops. Sometime next year, according to this report. And then there are two restaurants filling the former Tintoretto restaurant and bakery space. I don't remember if we ever even spoke about that. I don't recall.
I remember it existing, but we never went there.
So. You remember me stumbling over the name one other time?
Mm-hmm.
And the two venues are a British gastropub called Royal Britannia Gastropub and a pizza place, because there aren't enough of those in Las Vegas, called Pizzeria Pronto.
Not to be confused with Pronto by Giada.
No, this place, their shtick is they can make a pizza super fast. But there are a bunch of those places in Las Vegas. 800 Degrees, I think, is the other one mm-hmm. that does that. So I don't know that that's that big of a deal. Those are both expected to open in the next month or so.
And don't they already have another? Where's, there's another place. It starts with a G.
Another pizza place?
Yeah, in Venetian. So.
I don't know.
I can't remember the name.
The one in the food court?
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
That's, yeah, I suppose there's enough space between them.
Okay.
I don't know about that food court. I haven't paid much attention to that. We haven't been in Venetian in a while, so I don't know. I'm assuming that's probably still there, though, that whatever that pizza place was. So there you go. We got some new restaurants coming to the Venetian. Finally, this week, there's some additional security measures coming to the Strip. As we've discussed in the past, the county has been putting up security posts, also referred to as bollards, and they are going to be adding additional. So right now there's a handful of those kind of mid-strip by Paris and Bally's and Bellagio. They're going to be extending the area that has those security posts, which is a good idea. You don't want cars driving up on the sidewalk when they're crowded with pedestrians.
Exactly.
They have approved more of those in two different areas, one of them which makes sense and one of them that doesn't. So they're going to be putting additional posts on the east side of the Strip between Spring Mountain and Tropicana. And then on the west side of the Strip, this is puzzling to me, between Sahara, well, starting at Sahara and then 1,500 feet south. So that's pretty much as the Rock and Rio space, which is unused.
Yeah, that, there's not a lot of foot traffic there.
No, I mean, I know they're planning on having some events there, I believe, at whatever that MGM concert venue is called these days, but I don't know. It seems like a weird place to start. You would probably be better off going with the highly traveled pedestrian areas first, but for whatever reason, that's what's happening.
All right, I'm trying to find this place at Venetian, and they have the most unintuitive menu.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a website, because I know a lot of casino
website. I mean,
casino websites typically are shitty.
The navigation on this is horrible.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to you finding it by the end of the show.
Thanks.
In the meantime, can I tell you about our sponsor?
Yes, you may.
All right. Auto Slash, you'll save some cash.
All right. Our beloved Auto Slash is back this week for another sponsorship spot. You know what I've been realizing about myself lately? This is the self-actualization portion of the podcast. Okay. I enjoy
the lead up to a trip, the
the planning part?
That planning part, but I don't enjoy the initial planning part as much as I used to of actually booking a trip.
Oh.
I'm finding it a little more tedious. The having to deal with the trying to figure out a flight and hotel, all those things, and in some cases, depending on where we're going, the rental car aspect. I don't feel it's very convenient. You have to visit multiple sites a lot of times. I don't like for booking flights. Some of the airlines are not on the third-party travel sites, so there's not always a one-stop shop just to figure out all of the options.
And then same with hotels.
Hotel, yeah, it's like, oh, I don't know. I always feel like, am I getting the decent rate? Should I wait? The good thing
not
is...
Not so with Auto Slash.
That's right. That's where Auto Slash comes in. They at least take the rental car headache out of the picture. They make it easy because you know you're getting the best possible deal.
And you just have to go one place.
I know. It's great. I love that. It's free and it's easy, too. So you put
I like convenience.
Me, too. I love convenience. It makes me happy that at least a portion of the trip booking experience can be easy. You go to autoslash.com, you put in your dates and your car rental preferences. Their system searches all of the discount coupon codes, all those different locations where you might get a deal so that you don't have to search all the different spots, and they're going to find a great deal for you and let you know, and then you can book it. And the nice thing is, too, again, the same thing like when you're booking a flight, you're like, okay, am I going to find out tomorrow that this flight dropped by $100? And with Auto Slash, they will continue to track your car rental deal, and they will notify you if it drops. And the nice thing about car rentals is you can rebook, and there is not a penalty in most cases. So they will keep an eye on it. They'll let you know if they find a better deal, and then they're going to save even more money. So that's awesome. If you've already booked your car rental somewhere else other than Auto Slash, you could still give them your information, and they will keep an eye on it and let you know if, or more likely when, they find a better deal, and you can cancel it and rebook it. So
yay.
They do awesome things over there. We love Auto Slash. They're a little scrappy startup, as they like to say, and they're taking on the man, and they're saving you some money, and that's really cool. So whether you're going to Vegas or elsewhere and you need to rent a car, You don't have to feel like you got ripped off. You're going to get a good deal through AutoSlash. And they're sponsoring this podcast, which is cool. So check them out at autoslash.com. And thank you to AutoSlash for their continued support. Okay.
Pizza update.
Oh, you've pizza update.
I use the search function.
Yes.
And what did you find? Grimaldi's Pizzeria.
Oh, yes, Grimaldi's. I believe we've had a slice there probably a decade ago.
It is located in the Grand Canal Shops near the Palazzo Casino.
Oh, that's a different one. That's not the one I was thinking of.
That's not the one, no.
I was thinking of the one.
No, you were thinking
of
the Little John Pizza Co- or yeah, whatever. Little John Food Court, yeah. Which I will always refer to it as such because you saw Little John hanging out there
with his giant chalice trying to draw attention to himself, his pimp cup.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I don't know why.
What are you curious about?
Just how many pizza places do we need?
We're reaching saturation point with pizza places, but people love pizza.
Yeah. I love pizza. I have no problem with pizza.
I think we're going to start to see my food trend prediction. We're going to not start to see. We're going to see more. We're going to see an increase in the number of taco stands.
Uh-huh.
We're going to see more
of
those.
That's fine with me.
Everybody loves tacos too. Well, not everybody, but
I do.
If you don't love tacos, there's something severely wrong with you. Tacos are wonderful, but
and there's a taco for everyone. I mean,
what that. That seems like that could be a restaurant's tagline.
A taco for everyone?
Uh-huh.
Because you've got chicken, you've got beef, you've got pork. There are vegetarian tacos out there.
I love that you're just going to name all of the taco options. There's probably tofu tacos.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, some other pseudo meat.
Mm-hmm. We had shrimp tacos the other day.
I know, you're welcome.
They were delicious.
All right, so we've established that tacos are good.
And you can get a corn shell, you can get a flour shell.
What other options do we have?
I feel like the guy in Forrest Gump.
I'm just thinking we seem to have reached, well, I don't know if we'll ever reach true saturation with burger joints, mm-hmm. steakhouses, pizza. Tacos would seem to be, and there's sure there are, you know, places you can get tacos, but it seems like I'm just guessing that's going to be the place that we see a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the, and it would be like the very casual, like bomb tacos that we've discussed.
I'm so hungry for bomb tacos.
Yeah. So that's
craving that and the barbecue food truck.
Project Barbecue?
Yes.
Yeah, they do good work there too. All right. We've got some phone calls this week. Would you like to hear from some of our beloved listeners?
Sure.
All right.
Hey guys, this is Alex from Orange County calling with a quick pointer from something I noticed booking my upcoming Aria trip. I was booked one night on a MyVegas comp, and they sent me an email offering an upgrade to a corner suite for $95 more. And the difference between the standard room and the corner suite on my date was more like $300. So I fucking jumped on it. And it said it was too late, that it was unavailable. I waited a few minutes, I tried it again later, and it went through. So if you get one of those emails, consider it, because it's probably a fantastic deal. But also be prepared to act quickly and act repeatedly, to actually get it to go through. But yeah, so, we upgraded to a corner suite at the Aria, for a fantastic rate. Just by taking advantage of that offer. So there it is. Enjoy. Love the show. Bye.
That is a fine tip. Thank you, Alex.
I would take that offer in a heartbeat.
Yes. There are multiple schools of thought, of course, on the Las Vegas hotel room. There's the all you need is a place to sleep and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, you could use the public bathrooms for shitting. So you really only need a place to sleep. But then there are those of us who like a little bit.
You might
want to
brush your teeth occasionally, though. And I don't.
Okay, that's a good plan.
You don't want to brush your teeth in a public bathroom, especially in Vegas.
Some people do. But but then there are some of us who, as part of our overall vacation experience, mm-hmm. like a little bit nicer room.
Yes. And we are those people.
We are. We have become those people.
The corner suites are nice.
Yes.
I know. I highly recommend them.
Lovely rooms. But I would say that, in addition to Aria, MGM Resorts in general and Caesars Entertainment in general do tend to send out upgrade offers if you've booked. Not every, it hasn't happened every time, but mm-hmm. fairly often when I've had a room booked at Bally's or one of the other Caesars properties, I will get sometimes even just a few days before my trip, mm-hmm. some sort of an upgrade offer. So, you know, if you're looking for a little bit more space and maybe a better rate than you would get if you just booked through the website, this is a good chance to do that. And you don't, and then you're not necessarily having to deal with the unknown of, well, is the $20 tip thing at the desk going to work? Right, do I even have to deal with that? So that is some fine advice, Alex, if you're looking for a little bit better room. All right, moving along.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Jeff from Indiana.
Hello,
Jeff.
And
I'm in the Minneapolis airport, returning from my first trip to Vegas in a little bit over 2 years, believe it or not.
I believe it.
In a way, I guess. Quick trip reports. Saw 9-inch nails at the Hard Rock in the Joint, which is an amazing facility. I've only gone to shows there under the Star, so it's my first time at the Joint. I loved it. And 9-inch nails is awesome. One food report, Holstein's at the Cosmo. Loved it. Great burger, amazing shape that had more calories in it than I've had in weeks. And, of course, I played a lot of Keno. I was way up in the middle of the trip. We know how it ends. I lost it all back, gave it back, gave some more back. And yes, Keno is bad. Nice talking to you. Goodbye.
Good to hear from Keno's bad guy. It's been a while.
It is.
He's a legendary part of our show. I don't know if I have the original clip on here anywhere. No, I don't. Yeah. He used to call on a regular basis with Keno is good versus Keno is bad updates. Mm-hmm.
Keno is bad, usually one.
Yeah, clearly. All right. Thanks for that report. Good to hear from you again. And yeah, the Joint at Hard Rock, having been there recently, I too enjoy that venue. Place. Yep.
Yeah.
Good sight lines and good sound quality.
Yeah. I could use a shake from Holstein's too. We should not record the show when I'm hungry.
Well, you tell me that now.
Oh, that's okay.
It's a little late since we're about two-thirds of the way through it.
We'll carry on.
All right.
Tim and Michelle, Colby from Portland calling again.
Hello.
With a little bit of a trip report. Nothing much exciting to report from what we've done. We stuck to kind of some of our favorite spots. We've been here for about 3 days. Going home in the morning. We're pretty much staying around the Mirage, the Wind, and a little bit of Caesar's Palace, but that's about it. We don't like to run up and down the strip too much. We want to relax. Two things, though, that I think are interesting that I noticed this trip, and this actually has occurred to me in previous trips, and this is a question for Michelle. We were in the Venetian, and we walked the canal shops, and then we get to the Palazzo shops, and it's like no one's there. It's weird, because the Grand Canal shops are always packed, and they connect directly to the shops at Palazzo, and there's never anyone there. It's like 10% of what we see in the Grand Canal shop. I'm curious, Michelle, and I'm sure the tip is for any guys, why do you think that is? Is it the type of shops? Is it the atmosphere? Just curious to me. Another thing we noticed, far fewer panhandlers, far fewer costume people on this trip. I don't know if the city's been cracking down on them or if it's just not as lucrative anymore, but that's definitely interesting. So that's about all I got. Gambling's been okay, up a little tiny bit, but nothing huge. Had nice, you know, normal meals that we like here. So, some of the restaurants we go to, so no new reviews to provide. Love the podcast as always, and talk to you guys soon.
All right, thank you for that. Do you have any theories on the Venetian versus Palazzo side of the Grand Canal shops?
I have a couple.
Oh, good.
One is that, okay, even though it's, you can get lost in the Grand Canal shops pretty easily.
I think I've done that.
It's like I get lost
in my love of shopping.
Oh, of course you do. The canal is like a gimmicky thing that entices you in. It's unique, and it's like, all right.
Remind me at the end of this to share my idea for spicing up the canal.
Okay.
Okay, continue on.
All right. The other thing that I don't think the Palazzo shops are as visibly obvious. Like, they're sort of hidden. You don't really see them. I mean,
all right, there you go. Low visibility. The Neonopolis. Yeah.
Or maybe I haven't been looking. I don't know.
Okay.
I think they're more vertical. Like, there's, you know, the lower floor, then you've got like a second, third, maybe a fourth floor. I don't know.
I didn't realize it was a multi-floored.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know
Well,
that.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pleased that you have a theory on this.
Yeah. I think visibility.
You should be consulting.
I could be a mall consultant.
You could be.
All right. I want
First,
to
I have
hear...
a theory on that. He said he's noticed a decreased number of
panhandlers.
Panhandlers and costume performers. My theory on that is summer.
Oh, true.
It's hotter.
Oh,
so
God.
Fewer people want to be outside
yeah.
dealing with that.
Especially if you're in a costume.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I had the idea. This, I don't remember. It came up on Twitter somehow. As you know, I often have million-dollar ideas that I'm willing to give away for free
mm-hmm.
or maybe for a small commission. For example, Cold Pizza,
uh-huh.
the franchise that will at some point catch on. And right after tacos,
yeah, cold
we're going to see some of these pizza places converting to a cold pizza concept. And then... Monkey Poker Dome, we're still waiting on. I've got a lot of these great ideas. The latest one, specific to Venetian, you've got the canals for the gondola,
mm-hmm.
and obviously there are a lot of restaurant spaces surrounding that. We yep. referred to some of them earlier, Zeffirino, the former Zeffirino space, for example, where Smith and Walensky will be. They need to convert one of these restaurant spaces adjacent to the canal to a seafood concept, start stocking part of the canal with trout.
No.
And it's a catch-your-own. And there are catch-your-own restaurants. Somebody alerted me to one in a different city. You drop a line in the canal, catch your own trout right out of the canal, carry it over to the restaurant.
They cook it and
they cook it up for you.
Everything.
Yep. Million-dollar idea, I tell you. You don't like this? You don't like canal fish?
I know.
All right, maybe not. But when this happens, just wait. You're going to look at me like I'm a genius.
I'll look at you like you're something.
Yeah, you usually do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for that call, Colby. We do appreciate it. Next up.
Hey, 500 calling in with a trip report from a two-day stopover on my way to California for my brother's wedding. This is Ben in Ohio, by the way. We arrived late, staying at Caesars. We got to the hotel about 11:30. Never used the kiosk before, and when I tried to check in, it said my room was still being prepared. Walked over to the desk with a $20 trick, and my forum reservation was upgraded to a palace reservation, and I got the room right away. So screw the kiosk, $20 trick wins. Next morning, had Hash House for breakfast, is basically what you would expect. The cocktails were amazing, had a nice buzz when we left. Had to take a taxi. It was the only taxi we took for the whole trip and probably the last time I ever take a taxi in Vegas. The driver had no idea where Men's Warehouse was on Twain Avenue. I thought as many people that would probably pick up a tux in Vegas as those people are, as many of those people there are, the taxis would know how to get there. I had to use my phone's GPS to get us there. So needless to say, that driver did not get a tip, nor if I ever ride in a taxi again. We used Uber almost exclusively. I think we used Lyft once. Superior service, lower fares, just everything about it is much better than the cabs. Ended up going to Fremont after that, hit the Plaza, had never really played there, had a good time, turned $40 into $740. So I'm kind of a fan of the Plaza right now. Went to the D, had a good time, and went to Nacho Daddy for food. Nothing exceptional to report here. As everybody else has said, it was really good. It was the first time my wife and I had been there. We did find during the night show, I don't know if they're there through the day, but under Fremont Street, there was some guys doing paintings with spray paint. We ended up buying a few of those, and we really think they're just really cool little art. For no more than they cost, it was worth the expense. Spent the next day on the Strip. That was Friday, June 10th. Walked over to Pink Box Donuts. It was okay. It was a long walk. For those of you who don't know, it's next to Fatburger. Then we went to the Wynn. Had a similar experience at the Wynn as we did at Plaza. So my wife and I are bigger fans of the Wynn than we ever were before. Went over to the World Series of Poker and checked out the spectacle there. Was not as overwhelmed as I expected to be from the spectacle, having never seen it in person, but it was still kind of cool to see the big stage all lit up and everything. Got to see some of my favorite pro players while they were playing, that sort of thing. Had dinner at Old Homestead and Caesars. It was an excellent meal, but not sure that I would ever go back just because, you know, my wife and I, one or two glasses of wine and our meal was about two bills. And there's just other places that are just as good or better that I could spend money on that I've never been to.
That's the only reason I would not go back. It was an excellent meal. Just not one of those where I felt like I'm not going to go try something else just for this place. Went and saw Pit the Magic Dragon. Was an okay show. The show was okay. But I think you can see most of the act on YouTube if you really wanted to. We still had a good time, but I would just caution people to check it out if they're not familiar, and then also caution them that they maybe saw the biggest part of the act if they did check them out. After that, we headed to California for the wedding, which is not Vegas stuff, so I'm not going to tell you about it. But the fun drive, the drive across the desert was fun. Anyway, keep up the good work. Love the show. Talk to y'all later.
All right. Thank you for that call. We do appreciate it. Whenever I hear Old Homestead, all I can think of is their issue a few years ago. They got shut down briefly by the health department, mm-hmm. and the term used was multi-generational cockroach infestation.
Oh.
So that one is permanently off my list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that report. Yes. You know, winning money at Plaza and Wynn, I would be a fan of those properties too if that had happened to me. Unfortunately, it never does at either of them. I don't play at either of them very often, but.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to be it for calls this week. We've got some karma donations to thank folks for, a bunch of them this week. Greg with a karma donation for a trip that starts today. And he said, because I finally got my little bitch friend, Pat Hofford, to go. You know, you've tried to lure me into calling your friend Pat Hofford a little bitch before, and I don't like using the podcast for that, and I refuse to participate in your games of referring to Pat Hofford as a little bitch. It just doesn't seem fair, especially since he's going on the trip with you. So,
mm-hmm.
nice try, but I'm not going to participate.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, last time you broke even, and to me, that's when I'm a fan.
I agree.
Of, yes,
yeah.
I'm okay with breaking even. So, anyway, thank you very much, Greg. We hope that you guys have a wonderful trip.
Yes.
And Jason with a karma donation for a bucket list trip to the World Series of Poker bracelet event.
Nice. Good luck.
Awesome. Good luck. To you, our friend Trisha with a karma donation for a trip this week, taking her non-gambling husband for the first time.
Whoa.
Usually she's solo. He hasn't been to Vegas in 20 years. They're staying at Flamingo and hoping to get some gambling in. So he's going to want to do sightseeing, and she's looking forward to him saying cash out every time she hits a minor jackpot. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Hope it works out. It's always interesting going to Las Vegas with someone who has a different mode of operandi, is that the word?
Yeah.
A different way of enjoying the city than you do. So I have a feeling that Trisha's going to do just fine.
Mm-hmm.
She's, she's not going to put up with any shit. That's what I'm saying.
No, she's not.
He's going to have to change his ways mm-hmm. to accommodate her.
Yep.
She's the Vegas professional here.
Yes.
All right, Trisha, thank you very much for your support. We do appreciate it, and good luck.
Yep.
And we hope that we hear from you during your trip. All right, Dave and Paul with a karma donation for an upcoming trip to Las Vegas. They said they love the podcast. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Karen, heading out next weekend for a 4th of July trip. Thanks for all the laughs and information on the podcast.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad that you laugh along with us and or at us. Either way is fine. All right, our friends Dane and Lauren heading to Las Vegas. They are there right now for an annual World Series of Poker trip.
Yay.
Hey, good luck. Hope you have a great trip. Sue with a karma donation, staying in a Ferris Taunton. Let me try that again. Staying in a Terrace Fountain View room at Cosmo for the first time ever over 4th of July. Well, that'll be wonderful.
It will.
And she said, thanks for putting out a great podcast. Well, you're welcome, and thank you for supporting it. Mm-hmm. We do appreciate it. Julian from New York City started listening 3 months ago when I started planning this weekend's trip, and it's finally here. Here's a karma donation. Love the show.
Yay.
Awesome. Glad that you found us and glad that you've been enjoying it, and mm-hmm. good luck to you. Kevin and Kelly with a karma donation for a 20th wedding anniversary trip that starts today.
Happy anniversary.
And they said a small thanks for all the great work you've done. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Good luck. Happy anniversary.
Yes, good luck to everyone, and thank you.
Thank you to all of you for your support of the show. It means a lot to us. We do appreciate it. All right. Anything else before we wrap things up?
Nope.
Oh, you look like you had something that you were holding off on. You got a big grin on your face.
What was that room in Cosmo again?
The Ferris Taunton. I'm a little tongue-tied this morning. I guess I haven't had my 16 cups of coffee yet today. Because I don't like coffee because it's gross. All right, moving along. We're going to wrap things up. 500bymidnight.com is the website. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions. 500@gmail.com. We're going to do a Dear Tim and Michelle in the next couple weeks. So
okay.
If you won't have questions for us, please send them our way. We have some from our favorite Dear Tim and Michelle contributor, Danny.
Ooh.
So, if anyone wants to add to that We'd love to get them. 500 and Anita Martini are our Twitter names. And, of course, you can call that voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you with your trip reports, your reviews, your thoughts. 702-866-9494. Put it in your phone before you go to Vegas and call it when you're there, drunk or sober, with your observations and whatnot. All right, that's going to do it for this week. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back very soon from a terrace, from a Ferris Touton. No, we won't. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.